Yesterday, Pastor Lawson touched on how Lucifer deceived a third of the angels to turn against God. And those angels were in the presence of God all the time, and he deceived them and got them to follow him. And I thought, oh my gosh, if he could deceive angels who are in the presence of God, seeing God, and he can deceive them, he can deceive people.
Yeah, and if you think you can't be deceived,
whatever you compromise, you will lose.
The thing is, when you're deceived and don't repent of it or don't get out of it, you'll keep going down. The enemy will keep giving you more.
Oh, he doesn't let up, does he?
And I see people when they open that door to deception, that's just the route they're going down.
Hey guys, we just finished filming this episode of the Purdue Podcast, and you have either been one of these people or you know someone who has fallen for one of these ways of deception. So stay tuned, because we're going to hop right into this and you are going to love it. Let's get started.
Yeah, thanks for watching. I know we have a lot of different generations that actually tune in and join us for the podcast. It's kind of a newer type thing out there. Even some people at our church who have more white hair than others tell me they really enjoy the podcast as well. My dad, podcast is a newer thing. He's been in ministry and does a lot of media stuff, but it's funny. I was talking to him once and he's like, how'd your podcasting go?
Your podcasting?
Yeah, with an ing. I didn't know
cute.
You could do that.
We're going to have him on here soon.
We are.
Yeah.
We've had Pastor Barbara. We need Pastor Lawson.
Oh, Pastor Lawson. He's excited. I wonder how it's going to go with him.
It'll be.
You think he'll try to teach me the entire time?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
I think he'll.
While we're here and we're talking about Pastor Lawson, I want you guys to submit a few questions in the comments that you might have for Pastor Lawson, because that will really help me. And I want to have a very good conversation with him. And he has so much wisdom, and he is so funny too. In his own little way, but give us some questions for him in the comments, or you can,
I think it'd be cool if you just submit those and, you just catch him off guard with those questions.
I know. Wouldn't that be so fun?
Cause he's such a wealth of knowledge, scriptural knowledge and wisdom. And I think it'd be kind of cool to just catch him off guard with these things.
Yeah. So give us all the questions and,
we'll make sure he doesn't read your comments.
Oh, he won't. He won't read them. He doesn't. He's not really.
So he won't see them until he's on the spot.
Yeah.
But today. The subject, how to not fall for the devil's lies.
Yes.
Man, the devil is a liar.
Liar. Yes.
Satan, Lucifer, big time loser, big time liar. Of all the titles given in scripture, Jesus calls him the father of lies. So he's such a liar, but I've seen, and you see how he influences people.
He's a deceiver.
Today, present times, but even through scripture, he's deceived a lot of people.
And he's good at deceiving.
He can even deceive believers who aren't really firmly established in the truth and really...
I'm gonna hold my hand up.
Cued into what God's saying.
Yeah, that's right. I'm really bad about interrupting you. I'm trying to get better.
Okay, go for it.
Yesterday, Pastor Lawson touched on how Lucifer deceived a third of the angels to turn against God. And those angels were in the presence of God all the time, and he deceived them and got them to follow him. And I thought, oh my gosh, if he could deceive angels who are in the presence of God, seeing God, and he can deceive them, he can deceive people.
And if you think you can't be deceived,
you're already deceived. So. Anyway, moving along. I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
To think about.
That's funny.
I don't think it's funny.
If you think you can't be deceived.
Oh, that part's funny.
I don't know if anyone's ever said that before.
Yes, they
have.
Did you say that or did I say that?
Who said that first?
That's cute that you want. Andrew Womack has said that,
Oh, okay.
I've heard multiple people say it, but we'll let you think that.
It's my personal quote.
Yours.
Quote Pastor Aaron, if you would repeat that phrase. Colossians 2, 6 through 10. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Man, we need to be rooted, built up in Jesus, established in faith. You know, there's a lot of deconstruction stuff out there.
Yeah, you got to be established.
I'm a constructionist.
Yes,
not
me
a
too.
Deconstructionist.
Me too.
I construct and help build people's faith, establish them in the faith, teach them in that and abound with thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Man, thankfulness will help your brain work right. It'll help you not be so easily deceived. If you start being unthankful, you're open to deceit.
Yeah, not just a little bit of thankfulness.
And he talks a lot. Paul writes here about how people are deceived. He said, beware lest anyone cheat you. Man, I hate being cheated.
Oh, we know.
I think you've learned that about being married to me.
The things that you feel like are a ripoff are quite interesting.
It's I hate being cheated.
Yeah.
Don't let anyone cheat you through philosophy. There's a lot of philosophy out there. Mm-hmm. Through empty deceit. Mm-hmm. According to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. One way the enemy tries to deceive people is make you feel that you're lacking, that Jesus isn't enough. That's the exact same thing he did in the Garden of Eden with Adam, with Eve. Eve, you're lacking. God's holding out.
Yeah, it's an identity crisis, really, because they don't know who they are in Christ.
Yeah. He tries in to Christ, deceive people in their identity.
Mm-hmm, that's what he did with Eve. And he's still doing that. But he, it says, you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Mm-hmm. And we are found in him. We are in Christ. So you read about Jesus, all the things that he is, boom, that's now who you are when you receive Jesus as your Lord.
Yeah.
You know?
I remember, and he mentions philosophy. You know, he's writing to, these Christians in Colossae, he's writing to, a lot of Gentile believers who philosophy was a big deal.
Yeah.
In the Greek-Roman, world, philosophy was huge. Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, all these different, and actually all the early academies were academies of philosophy. Mm. And some of them had some ideas that actually were in line somewhat with Christianity, like ideas of eternity and there being kind of a spiritual realm.
They're skewed.
But yeah, very skewed. And just because there's elements of truth does not mean that is the truth.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of people even today get off. Mm-hmm. Universalism. Well, there's elements of truth and, we should be kind people and there's, we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But don't just be cheated through philosophy, through empty deceit. There's just flat out deceit going on in the world. Traditions of men. Anything that makes void the power of the word of God, anything that makes that void, it's a tradition that shouldn't be followed.
Yeah.
Anything that voids the word of God, the power of the word of God.
What's the first thing that
comes to your mind? Well, Jesus said, by your tradition, you void the power of God.
Yeah, so like what traditions do you think of when you...
Well, it could be the traditions of, hey, I'm more concerned about what my family and my friends think than what God thinks. So I'm not really going to go to church. I'm not really going to go to Bible college. I'm not really going to, worship at church because the people next to me might think I'm a fanatic.
So a tradition to you,
a tradition of popularity.
Yeah.
Like you're more concerned with being popular. Yeah. Popularity is a very big tradition.
It is.
And Jesus had some strong words to say about that. He's like, I don't care what other people think in your life, your own father and mother.
Yeah.
You might have to chop off some things if it goes against, living for me, living for the one true God. He talks about according to the basic principles of the world, the world, it's about you, about your feelings, about your, it's just all about you. Survival instinct. If it looks good to the eyes, if it feels right, you just think it's right, just a lot of things are rooted in that. It's just like a very worldly, we've been to places where Paul has ministered.
Yeah.
We've been to, I remember we went on our honeymoon to Rome, went to the Amalfi Coast, and then went to Naples. And on the way to Naples, we stopped by Pompeii, the city of Pompeii, which was destroyed in,
in
the first century, I think, 70, 80 AD. And so it was just buried by this volcanic eruption, Mount Vesuvius. And 2,000 years later, they unbury it. And it's just a perfect picture of this Roman city, Roman Empire city. And the culture that Paul ministered to. And it's just complete...
ungodliness.
Complete
ungodliness. Like brothels.
I think it's called hedonism, when it's just, whatever pleasure just feels right.
Just led by your flesh.
Yeah.
Just all out given to your flesh. Yeah. And for those of you that don't know and have never been there, like, it was so unreal because there were these rooms carved out of stone. And they were brothels, and they had different...
It's like being at McDonald's. I want a number one. I want a number three.
Like, you know, what's sex on the value positions meal? On the wall, carved into the wall.
Yeah, and literally had, like, going to McDonald's and seeing what meal you want to order.
And men genitalia pointing toward where the brothels
in the public
were.
Streets,
carved
in the sidewalk.
The street. And you know what is so insane to me is that I was on social media not too long ago, and there was a story about Pompeii, and I was like, oh, I want to read this, you know, just some historical story. But in the comments, people were talking about how beautiful that place was and about how special it is. And like, they were just singing the praises of, yes, like they were all out just talking about how wonderful it was. And I'm thinking, have you been there? Like, some of these people had been there. Mm-hmm. And of course, like, I became a keyboard warrior, and I was like, well, what about what's carved into
the... Well, it's really interesting, like, where that philosophy led that society
no,
to. You
and
know, like,
not
what,
only
what
that...
was normal for men to have boy lovers.
Yes, and that's what I was about to say. Like, we, when we were there, we took a... we didn't really buy a door because somebody thinks it's a ripoff. So it's a cheat for him. So anyway, we kind of like, when we weren't really there long enough to take a tour, so we kind of piggybacked off of another, we kind of joined him. But anyway, this guy was saying that, yeah, that they had child lovers. I'm like, that is disgusting. Mm-hmm. Like, that's terrible. And this is the basic principles of the world. Mm-hmm. This is what the world will tell you is okay. You know, that sin is okay, and it is not okay. Mm-hmm. It's not okay. It leads to death.
Basic principles of the world.
Yeah.
And it's important to...
It's deceit.
And yeah, as believers, we are to stand out.
We are to stand out.
We are to stand out.
Yeah.
And not just say everything that the world does, everything that every philosophy teaches...
Is right.
Is right. Yeah. Yeah. We're to stand up for Jesus and the truth.
Yeah. Amen.
So don't be cheated.
Yeah.
Don't be cheated. And just remember that you are complete in Jesus.
Amen.
You have Jesus, you have everything.
That's right.
Man, that is so powerful.
It is powerful.
He is more than enough. I want to talk about three ways.
Okay.
The devil, Satan, the thief who comes to steal, to kill, to destroy, who... this is kind of interesting. He actually sometimes comes as a messenger of light.
Mm.
Very deceitful.
Mm-hmm.
He tries coming like, hey, I'm here to illuminate your
life. I'm here to
help
you.
And, you know, just help bow me. Down and worship
yeah.
me. And so the way he deceives people, it's not a flat out lie always. This father of lies.
Mm-hmm.
It's calculated, it's manipulative, it's deceitful. So I'm going to talk about the three B's.
Okay.
Three B's. The first way the enemy deceives and really distorts truth.
How is it?
And the distortion of truth. Man, and so many people just distort things to fit their own thinking, to fit their own narrative, their own philosophy,
their own
what they've decided, their
mm-hmm.
own prejudices. And even when people are being deceitful, this is usually how they work.
Mm-hmm.
But the enemy and people who are kind of flowing with this spiritual father of lies, bearing false witness, they tend to distort the truth.
Yeah.
The first way, the first B is breaking. Just taking a piece of truth and presenting it out of context. The first way the devil, that spirit, that antichrist spirit that's in the world today, and even some believers can be yielding to it if they're not really just committed to truth. It's called breaking.
Mm-hmm.
They'll break a piece of scripture, a piece of truth, pull it out of context, a half-truth.
Mm-hmm.
A half-truth is not the truth.
That's right.
It's a lie and it's deceptive.
Mm-hmm.
Satan actually tried to tempt Jesus this way.
Yeah, he did.
In Luke 4, 9 through 12, it said, he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God. Notice that he's tempting him in his identity.
Yeah.
And just right before Jesus went into the wilderness to fast, to pray, and was tempted by the devil, you know, he was baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. And when he came out of the water, an audible voice from you know, the Father spoke, "This is my beloved Son, mm-hmm. in whom I'm well pleased." And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. This is right after the enemy tried to tempt him in that. If you are the Son of God,
mm-hmm.
if you are this in his identity, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, "He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God."
Yeah.
This is the first time Jesus chronologically in scripture told someone that he was Lord, Jehovah. He actually told it to...
That's what he said here.
To Satan.
"You shall not tempt the
Lord Jehovah." All caps. Yeah, and that quote from Deuteronomy it's talking about Hashem, Jehovah, Yahweh. Mm-hmm. "You should not tempt the Lord your God." So, you know, the devil took a piece of scripture.
He took a
and presented
large,
it to Jesus.
He took a pretty large piece of scripture. The devil knows scripture.
Yeah. So he
it's
people
important
can
that
break
we
something.
Know it's important that we know scripture in context, because the devil knows scripture and he loves to take it out of context.
And even some people could have the wrong heart motivation for presenting scripture to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, even yesterday, someone wanted to just share a certain, I knew they were coming against me and not mm-hmm. thinking in line with the truth. And I don't want to hear what verse you have for me.
Okay. "Women shall remain silent in church." Taken straight out of context.
Yeah.
Contextually speaking, that doesn't mean that all women cannot open their mouth at all mm-hmm. in church, period. They cannot teach, they cannot preach, they can't do any of that. Mm-hmm. That's taken way out of context.
Yeah, and context is huge. Yeah.
Well, that's a way Satan deceives people.
Yeah.
You know, if I didn't know what that scripture was talking about in context, I would not be walking in the calling that God has on my mm-hmm. life. I would be completely robbed of that. Mm-hmm. The devil would have robbed me.
Yeah. You need to look at scripture in its entirety.
Yeah.
And for something to be major doctrine, it needs to be mentioned multiple times throughout scripture.
Amen, yeah.
It has to be major
You can't just take one
doctrine.
Little piece of it. And
exactly. Even, this is kind of interesting, President Joe Biden.
That's wild to me that he was
president. This is wild. March 31st, 2024, Easter Day, declared that this would be the Transgender Day of Visibility, because they're not visible enough.
What a joke.
Transgender Day of Visibility, which is on Easter.
Because they're not visible enough. Aaron.
Sorry.
No,
whatever.
It's
I'm
fine.
I'm not that sorry.
That's hilarious.
Today, this is his post on X on March 31st, 2024. He quotes scripture.
Okay.
It doesn't mention Easter or Jesus or this great day for Christians. Today, March 31st, 2024, Easter Day. "On Transgender Day of Visibility, I have a simple message to all trans Americans. I see you. You are made in the image of God, and you are worthy of respect and dignity."
Is that the way he said it?
He couldn't even talk.
Oh, okay. All right.
What a joke. he quoted scripture. "You are made in the image of God." This is kind of a very ironic breaking of truth, taking a piece of truth out of context to manipulate, to distort, to deceive, mm-hmm. to go along with that deceiving spirit, to go along with the father of lies, the Antichrist. The Antichrist spirit, by the way, is an anti-creation spirit.
Yeah.
It's against creation. It's against life. It's against God creating mankind,
yep.
male and female. Genesis 1:27, this is what he quoted. First half of the verse. "So God created man in his own image." Mm-hmm. Congratulations, Joe Biden, you quoted half of a verse. But this is ironic. The other half of the verse, seriously ironic.
It is.
Seriously,
it's hilarious,
actually. Prophetic.
God has a sense of humor.
It says, "In the image of God, he created a male and female. He created them." Boom.
Put that Mike in your transgender day of visibility. Pop and smoke it.
And love people, care about people. There are people who are hurting, people who are deceived. You need to love them, but speak truth.
Yeah.
Don't, because you can't, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, period.
And if you're not speaking truth to someone, you're speaking deception.
Yeah. And I don't hate Joe Biden.
We don't hate anybody.
I hate
I hate the devil. I hate that he's come in and deceived people and destroying people's lives and
seriously hurt
people.
People.
Yes, I agree.
Seriously strip people away from
their identity and what they're called to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Breaking. That's why the entirety of the Bible is essential. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, mm-hmm. not just a couple words, a couple phrases. Yeah, and you have to live by every word mm-hmm. of God. Jesus quoted that in Luke 4:4 to, again, Lucifer, Deuteronomy 8:3. So number one way the enemy deceives people.
By breaking off a breaking piece of scripture.
Truth. Second, it's another B. Blending. Just taking bits of things that you like. Mm-hmm. Everything is true. Truth is not absolute. It's relative.
It's your truth.
Universalism. Mm. New age universalism. Everyone has their truth and their way. And as long as they live a good life, they'll go to heaven. You can take bits and pieces of various religions, philosophies, make your own set of beliefs. It's all good. An example of this is the modern day Icelandic Lutheran Church.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, we went to Iceland, and Iceland was actually founded 1,000 years ago by a Viking who had converted from pagan Nordic gods and discovered the truth of Jesus. And this Viking who converted to Christianity wanted to go. He actually went to Newfoundland. He's before Christopher Columbus went to. This guy went to Newfoundland in northern Canada and established a settlement there, but he also founded Iceland and was on a mission to spread Christianity to the uttermost parts of the world. And Iceland for almost 1,000 years was very Christian, like their flag is a cross. And we drove around, you can actually do a tour and go clear around mm-hmm. the entire country. And yeah. And in every little village, there's a church.
Yeah, a tiny little.
And most of them are closed. Like in the past 20, 30 years, they've all been shuttered up.
Mm-hmm.
We even went into one that we could get into and just look around in it. And but like the church was very much part of that society, that culture, that place, their history. But now it's not. All these churches are shut up. And we went to the main cathedral in the capital of Reykjavik, and it's a beautiful building. And you can take an elevator clue up, just pay a little bit to go up there. But while we're standing in line to take this elevator up to the top of this cathedral, we were just reading some of the literature of that church, the Icelandic
Lutheran terrible.
Church. And it's like, here's our brochure with our beliefs. Liturgy, yeah. our prayers, our beliefs. And one liturgy, like, this is the prayer to the queer God. And I was just so, I did not want to give them $1.
No, we were done after that.
Like, let's just get out of here. And man, blending is this whole coexist philosophy, that coexist bumper sticker with,
the
Muslim moon and the Jewish star. And like, this is not a coexist type thing.
Right.
Because
a couple of,
that's not reality.
In that want to slaughter everybody else.
Well, one religion wants to slaughter everyone else.
Yeah.
Sorry to offend people.
It's
but,
true. But anyway, yeah, there's no such thing as coexist. There's the devil and there's God. And you don't want to coexist with the devil. The devil wants to kill you.
Yeah. And like this whole like, well, what's your truth? And you have to speak your truth. That's absolute garbage.
It is garbage.
It's,
there's one truth.
It's vomit. John 14:6.
Okay. I want to say one thing. We were trying to keep this on the tighter side, okay. But maybe we can still.
I think so.
Once upon a time, I was not living the most godly life. And thank God that I had people in my life that didn't say, well, Heather, that's your truth. You can just live that way. Mm-hmm. They didn't do that to me. Thank God. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus, that people actually told me the truth mm-hmm. because I was drowning. Mm-hmm. I was dying on the inside.
And actually cared about you.
Yes, they actually cared about me. I needed help. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't actively reaching out for that help. Mm-hmm. But thank God they spoke the truth to me and it helped me. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it wasn't easy for them. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they wanted to coddle me and like try to, help my feelings, but mm-hmm. they didn't. Mm-hmm. And they didn't just come out against me, right? They just, they loved me, but they never once said that what you're doing is okay. Mm-hmm. They never did that, ever. Mm-hmm. And thank God for that, mm-hmm. because it would have just robbed me.
Yeah. And maybe you're watching this right now too, and you've kind of been trying to go along with people to pacify them, or you think it's a loving thing.
Or you think that it's the loving thing to do, you know? It's not.
No.
It's not the loving thing to do. You're killing your friends if you go along with them mm-hmm. and their sin, and you just try to say that what they're doing and the lifestyle that they're living is okay. You're killing them. Hello, you're killing them. You need to speak truth to them, especially if you know what the word says and you don't live your life like that, but you're going to say, okay, it's okay if you live your life like that, because that's what you want to do. That's your choices. You know, it is their choice, but their choice is killing them. And you need to be bold, and you need to speak up for what God wants to say to them. Mm-hmm. Selah.
It's true.
Yeah. What?
That's really good.
You got something to say?
That. I love
I love it too, because I've lived that. I've been in their shoes before. It's miserable. Mm-hmm. Your friends that are living in sin, they need help. They don't need you coddling them and petting them and telling them that the lifestyle that they're living is okay. They need you to speak truth to them. Mm-hmm. That's love, man. That is love, and it's not mean. Don't let the devil get in your head and think speaking truth to your friends is mean. It's not mean. It is love, and it will help them.
That's good.
It is good.
It's how the enemy deceives.
Blending.
And deceives people who are unbelievers, but even believers can be deceived.
Yeah.
Breaking, just mm-hmm. taking a piece of truth mm-hmm. out of context, half-truths. Blending, just everything is true, just blend it all together. Universalism. Blending, the last one, bending. Mm-hmm. Bending, compromise. Mm. You know, it is actually impossible for the truth to bend.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible for Jesus to fit into this world's way of thinking.
Yep. You're never going
to
fit in.
You have to fit into his way of thinking. Your thinking has to fit into his way of thinking. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you might not understand every aspect of scripture, every bit of doctrine, but sometimes you're going to have to submit it to his way, to his thinking, to the truth. You have to fit into Jesus. You have to fit into his word. Jesus said this to the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2, verse 6. He said, but this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So Ephesus, his word to Ephesus, he actually rebuked them for leaving their first love. Mm-hmm. But he complimented them on this, that they hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. So the Nicolaitan, it was a philosophy that had impacted the church. And it was a doctrine of compromise.
Yeah.
The word Niko, it comes from Nike, like Nike, to conquer. Mm. And Laetan, it's talking about the laity, just the people, your common people, the laity. How to conquer the common people with a doctrine of compromise.
Oh my gosh. So, that's the world we live in right now, isn't it?
It is.
Oh my gosh.
The doctrine to just bend, to compromise.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And this is a very real thing that people in Ephesus and other towns in the Roman Empire were facing. And we, like we talked about how we've been to
different countries,
to Italy and just seen these temples. And so in these various towns throughout the Roman Empire, there were trade guilds. So to be a blacksmith, a coppersmith, a carpenter, a butcher, you had to be a member of the guild. And each guild had its own pagan god, and they would do worship to that pagan god.
Oh my gosh.
And to be part of that guild, to have your license to be a blacksmith, you had to go to this
worship
guild
this
and be a part of this worship in a pagan temple. And the Nicolaitan doctrine was, well, just go ahead and go there, partake, you know, do the sacrifices, eat the sacrificed meat.
Do what you got to do to get
just
your,
do what you
got
to do to keep your job.
Oh my gosh.
You know,
gosh.
You can worship idols and worship Jesus.
Oh my gosh. No, you can't. No, you can't. Whatever you compromise, you will lose.
Yeah.
I've heard that said before, and it is true. Mm-hmm. Whatever you compromise, you will lose. Specifically, I want to talk to the people that are in relationships with people that don't, they don't need to be in relationships with. You know, I...
God can help
I'm
you.
So scared to say this and I don't know why. But, you know, if you know that God has called you to do something and you're going to compromise and say, well, I'm going to be in this relationship and do this thing that God has called me to do, you're going to lose it. Mm-hmm. You're going to lose it. Mm-hmm. You can't have both. You're not going to do both. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to compromise thinking that you're going to hang on to what God's called you to do, you're going to lose it. Mm-hmm. It's sad. Mm-hmm. It's true. But you know what? Don't do that. Don't compromise. And you might be saying, well, it's hard, Heather. That's really hard. You're asking me to do a lot. Mm-hmm. But what the thing is, you're going to reap so many blessings and fulfillment when you don't compromise. Mm-hmm. Truly.
Truly.
God can't work through a vessel that's not surrendered to him.
You know, and you need to live for the truth and yes. be all in for the truth
yes.
and not be deceived.
No.
Deception, the thing is when you're deceived and don't repent of it or don't get out of it, you'll keep going down. The enemy will keep giving you more and
more. Oh, he doesn't let up, does he?
And I see people when they open that door to deception, that's just the route they're going down. They get more and more and more deceived.
Oh my gosh, yes. And it's terrible to watch.
Yeah, and I, you know, the whether it be a breaking, mm-hmm. a blending, mm-hmm. a bending, it's not a good route to go down. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember in Houston, I went to school there for my master's and doctorate in classical music. I did a lot of concerts all throughout the city, but there's this chapel, what's called a chapel.
Yeah.
By this artist, this wealthy family, I think, you know, in the mid-1900s, collected a lot of this. He's one of the most famous American modern artists, Rothko. And they built a chapel, and it was a universalist chapel. It's a chapel to all religions because they were into that. I think at one point they were Catholic, but they became more universalist, mm-hmm. the patrons. But Rothko was a complete universalist. In this chapel, they have all these huge Rothko paintings. They're all just grayscale, black and white. And I remember when I went in there, again, there's all their brochures and literature, and all these various religions had their brochures for the religions. And there wasn't a single Christian brochure in there, which I'm actually glad because...
Yeah, who wants to be represented?
But it was all Buddhist, Hindu, just whatever... some Islam stuff. And it was so, so dark and deceitful.
Yeah.
And you can just feel that spirit in there. And I had to perform there maybe just once. I don't know. But I could just... And you could just feel that darkness and that...
Yeah.
It really... Yeah. And Rothko actually ended up killing himself.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Didn't he end up killing...
Incredibly, you know... famous, but it's not just about being famous and wealthy and
Jesus,
having hundreds
Jesus
of millions of dollars
doesn't,
and whatever.
Christianity, Jesus does not coexist with other religions.
Yeah.
He is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
And no one comes to the Father but through him.
I love too, like when you read Acts,
yeah.
It talks about the Christians, I think it's actually before they were called Christians, it said they were of the way.
Yeah,
they were the people who were of the way. Mm-hmm. I think that was before they were called Christians.
Yeah, I recently heard that Christians, you know, used to be a derogatory term, and they Christians back then didn't refer to themselves as Christians, but they referred to themselves as disciples. Mm. And I love that because that's what we're to be, really.
Disciplined students
of the
followers
word. Uh-huh.
of the word. So just really quick as we wrap up,
yep.
three ways to not be deceived and keep standing in the truth. Believe the entirety of the word.
Yes.
Believe the
don't
entirety
of the word. Don't just pick out
the
pieces that don't
word.
Feel good.
Yeah. Number two, build relationships with people of faith.
Yeah.
Man, have close relationships with people of strong faith. And thirdly, know Jesus personally.
Yes, please.
Know him. You can't just have a... vicarious relationship with Jesus. You can't just piggy off of someone else's relationship.
No, it's not the way it's supposed to work.
You have to know Jesus yourself. And that's actually how you're not catfished. You know, catfished is like...
Who knows what catfishing means?
It's when you're trying to meet someone online and they have like a picture that's been really doctored up, or maybe it's them 20 years ago.
A completely different picture.
When you meet them.
Or a totally different picture.
Or a different person.
An AI picture.
And the way people get catfished is because you don't know that person personally.
Uh-huh.
So you have to know Jesus personally.
Yes.
And then you won't believe the lies. You know, you'll know him yourself. You'll see him yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you can continue in the truth.
Yeah.
So I love that. How to not be deceived by the lies of the devil, the father of lies. Believe the entirety of the word. Build relationships with people of faith and know Jesus personally.
Amen.
Awesome.
And if you don't know Jesus personally, you can get to know him personally. You can make him your Lord. And if you've never made Jesus your Lord, you need to contact us today, because we want to pray with you and we want to help you take that step into salvation, because there is a good life waiting for you on the other side of that.
Amen.
So, yeah.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you all again very soon.